Now, Lord, as we look into your word and as we hear wonderful stories of your love for every person, everywhere, all the time, and that your church is to reflect that love to every person, everywhere we find ourselves, all the time, like you. And I pray today that as we honor your name and as we honor the thing that you've challenged us to do, which is to go and make disciples of all nations, whatever that's going to look like for our churches may be different from other churches, probably will be, but it's still what you've called us to do. Help us to be faithful to the things that you've called us to as a church, what really matters. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay, excuse me, I had a nasty cold this week. For 2 or 3 days, it just kind of laid me out. And now, it's all the yucky stuff. So, I'm sorry that you have to be a part of that. All right, and for those of you coming up to stand around me, don't worry, I think it's contagious is gone. All right. This is our final message of this series that we have been enjoying on what really matters. Why we do what we do as a church, what really matters. And to summarize the topics we've looked at, we are to proclaim the good news. That's one of the reasons why we are a church. To proclaim good news in a world full of bad news. We are to hold and guard the teaching and to teach the word of God. We are to disciple and baptize people. We are to celebrate as regular as we can the death and resurrection of Jesus at the communion table. We are to pray and to devote ourselves to prayer. We are to care for the least and the marginalized as part of why we do what we do and what really matters. We are to evangelize our town, Hinton. We are to reflect God's generous nature in a world full of stinginess and greed. And we are to carry good news to everyone, everywhere, representing God's heart for the world. And that's what we're going to focus on today. And we're going to launched each of our services with this passage from Acts chapter 2. And if you want to follow along, you can. Acts chapter 2, starting at 42, it says, they, and that's the people who came together in the book of Acts as the first church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and gave to anyone who had need. Reflecting the generous nature of God. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and for football games in the afternoon. Oh, sorry, that's not there. That actually is happening today at 4, which you're all welcome to come to. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Hallelujah. That's why we do what we do. It's what really matters. Okay? So, the question, where did all these people come from? Where did they all come from? Well, it just so happens that this was all happening during the Feast of Pentecost. Feast of Pentecost was in the Jewish calendar. It was a celebration weekend of freedom from bondage and from debt. Wouldn't that be nice? Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit was poured out like fire. He came with tongues of fire. He sat on each disciple. They all began to praise God and speak in tongues as the Spirit anointed them. And there was a very large crowd. From where? Well, let's read. Let's read where they came from. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Say that with me. Every nation under heaven. Come on. Every nation under heaven. If God was going to do something that was for every nation, now would be the time to do it, right? Are you there? When they heard this sound, so the sound of the mighty wind and the fire and the speaking in tongues, a crowd came together in bewilderment, sort of like we do on Sunday mornings. A little bewildered. What am I doing here? Because each one of them heard the 12 speaking in his own language. What a miracle. And they were utterly amazed. And they asked among themselves, aren't these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in his own native language? How is that? And then Luke does a really good job of sort of telling us who's saying this. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, that's huge, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converted to Judaism, Cretans, bad dudes, and Arabs. Arabs were there. Did you hear that? And they said to one another, what does this mean? I think I'd have said the same thing. How about you? What does this mean? I can hear my own language being spoken. And they were testifying to the wonders of God. Hallelujah. What a moment. So we're going to fixate a little bit, if we can. Oh, no. Okay, there we go. On the question, what does this mean? Okay. Not only was the Lord adding numbers to the disciples, that all who were being saved, and those who were working and living in Jerusalem, but also he had a grander notion in mind. And it's been like that for a long time. Listen, when he said to his disciples, my spirit, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is going to come on you, and you will become my witnesses. By the way, that word witness is the same word that is translated martyr. Isn't that interesting? I wonder if he lost them at that point. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Say that with me. And to the ends of the earth. Okay? The ancient people knew this all the way back to Abraham. When God said to Abraham, he will become a great and powerful nation in Genesis 18, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. Say that with me. All nations on earth will be blessed through him. The ancient prophets, many of them prophesied that God would come and live by his spirit in a new temple, which is very interesting because the new temple was nothing like the one that people went to in those days. The new temple was not to be a stationary building, but a movable people. What? A new covenant family that God would disperse around the globe as his temples. Bringing the good news that the Messiah, the King, had come and that God's reign had come to this earth and announcing it to all the nations. Isaiah 11 clearly spells this out, that the people of all the nations will rally to him. Isn't that encouraging? It's going to happen. There was a hiccup. What was the hiccup? Language. You see, since the Tower of Babel, God had dispersed the people throughout the whole world, giving everybody different languages because they had disobeyed him. And they'd tried to outmaneuver God because they could all speak the same language. And so God said, okay, that's not going to happen anymore. And so he gave them different languages and spread them throughout the whole world. Except for right now, what is happening? In the gospel, at this very moment, the nations have come together, and in the gospel, they believed. And so that every language that was represented here took that gospel to the languages that were out there. And you know what he was doing? Some scholars call this Babel reversed. What God had originally scattered throughout the world, he was now gathering. He was gathering through the temple. My temple, your temple, the temples that he fills with his Holy Spirit when we believe. And we, like I said last week, the most holiest moment in a church service, this was written, I think, by Spurgeon, is when the people walk out the doors. That's the holiest moment. Because that's where the action is. We come and we are blessed and we are encouraged and we're filled and we're enjoying. Our hands are lifted up. Our weak knees are strengthened. Our arms are strengthened. Our faith is strengthened from the Word of God. This is really, really good. We do have visitors among us. Praise the Lord. But the action in the heart of God is in 95% of this town that is out there doing whatever their natural flesh wants them to do, oblivious to the grace of God. And guess what? Most of them speak our language, unless they just moved here from the Ukraine. And even then, we have some people in our church being trained in English as a second language, so that when the Ukrainian club comes to meet in our church on December 3rd, there's going to be offerings of gifts. Some people make quilts. Hallelujah. And an offering of learning some English. What do you think? See, the nations are coming here too. It's visa and versa. It's coming and going. It's good and gooder. Something like that. Well, the scattering of the nations had to happen. And you know what it took? It took persecution. As you read through the book of Acts, it's glorious. It sounds like the first six chapters. They are a party. There's so much going on. So many good things are happening. But it can't stay in Jerusalem. Remember what he said? He said, I'm going to give you my spirit. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is true. But also, where? Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So we've got the Jerusalem part down here. We got the beginnings, the rumblings of all the nations in this little church. But they were still all mostly God-fearing Jews. There were a few proselytes. And so persecution broke out when the first martyr, what was his name? Stephen was murdered. And the man who gave the credit to that, his name was Saul, later converted to Christianity and named Paul. In Acts chapter 8, it reads, and Saul was there giving approval to Stephen's death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. Listen, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Woo! It's happening, folks. It's happening. His great, giant heart for the world is starting to take a shape. It's starting to move. And it takes persecution to do it. It takes a martyr to make it happen. Anybody want to sign up for the martyr part? Well, when the Spirit comes on you, you'll be his witnesses. You will be. Not do evangelism. You will be his witnesses. Your little temples will go with you to the mill. Your little temples will go to you with you to the mine. They'll go to you with, it will go with you to the hair salons and the manicure places and the subway stations. And the kitchens of your homes with your children and the mechanics. And even the Athabi, we'll throw that in there for you guys because you make such good food over there. All right, you get the point. Away they went, and God's plan was taking shape. And so they started a church in Antioch. So this was the most cosmopolitan and largest city in the Roman Empire of that area. Good place to start. And so they started a church there. And Paul took his friend Barnabas, and they preached there, and they teached there, and they brought the power of God to bear there. And there was deliverance ministry, and there were people being healed. Hallelujah. There were people being set free from the Spirit. I won't get into all the details except for this. That's the first place in Antioch where the believers were called Christians. That's the first place. They had to come up with a name for them. Huh? And so they called them Christians. And it is also the first place where they paired up as missionaries and they took the gospel around the globe, the Roman Empire. Hallelujah. And here we are today. We are descendants of that movement. Somebody say amen. We stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. And the ones who come after us will stand on our shoulders until the King returns. And every nation under heaven has had the opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen. Amen. All right. So how can we participate? Well, some of us will go. If God is calling you right now, he's nudging your heart. Or maybe you see it in your children as you pray for them. You see there's a missionary heart there. Start praying into that. As you see it in your grandkids, start praying. A missionary heart. Because it's not a foreign thing. It is the thing at the heart of God. He sent his one and only Son into the world to save it. The world. The world. So what do we do? Well, we can do things like take Jaffrey offerings. Congratulations, everyone. God used you. And last week, we sent a check for $4,000 to the national office. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Hallelujah. All right, now that money is going to be used to go to places where there is no churches, where the pastors are getting saved even right now. And that money is going to be used to train them so that they can go back to their villages and maybe even die there, sharing their faith. And we are a part of it. It's an extension of our hand in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. What a great and exciting thing. As we give to the Alliance, as we give to Global Advance Fund, which we do monthly, we give to the Global Advance, the same thing. It helps people like Dave and Jen, who we're going to have on phone here pretty quick, come, or go rather, to North Africa and share the gospel. And it also puts in our hearts things like going to Guatemala, because everybody talks and thinks about Guatemala all the time, right? No. Very few people talk about Guatemala. But somebody in our church had a vision from Jesus, tapped him on the shoulder and said, I want you to get together and I want you to take some people from Hinton Alliance Church and I want you to go to Guatemala. Guatemala. So in your hands, you have some very important information. I will not read it all to you because most of you can read. If you can't, get someone to read for you. You see here just a couple of items. Historically, number one, the impact of Hinton Alliance. Historically, first bullet, this area had one of the highest illiteracy rates in the region. Now, 4 out of 5 children are fluent in Spanish. and they completed grade 6. I think that's a good thing. And they're continuing on to middle and high school. Praise God. I like this one. The second bullet is that they, Hindenline Church, built a beautiful church building there. And the children get their Bibles and they take them home and they teach their parents and their siblings from it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's so good. And they're eating right. Praise God. Now look at this. Look at the second page. Our church is responsible, just shy, $212 shy of sending $300,000 to the Membrial area. Praise God. Praise God. So many good things have happened. Now, I would love if we could hear some stories to help remember. So that's one of the reasons why, not just because they're good people and we love them, and they used to be very much a part of our church. Dortea led with Charlene, our prayer ministry, and Kelvin was in our elders board, and of course, giving direction to much of what happened in these 7 years, or whatever years that is, 9 years. So I'm going to ask if Kelvin and Dortea would come up, and I've just asked them, tell us how this got started. What was in your minds? Why did God tap you on the shoulder and say, Guatemala, to you? Take it away.
Well, good morning, everybody. I guess before I start, you know, it's great to see all the faces here. You know, we know, I think, at least half of you, if not more, but there's a whole bunch of new faces here. And, you know, as we were singing this morning, I put my arm around Dorothea and I said, it feels like we're home. So we were here a part of Hinton Alliance for 9 years, and we moved away 4 years ago. And it really is like coming home. So, you know, as I sat there and I thought, you know, the affection that we have for the people that we know here, you know, what is it like, you know, if you're a Christian, if you're following Jesus, we're the bride of Christ. And so for me, you know, in the affection that I see when I look out, what is it when Jesus looks upon his church? So anyways, thanks for having us and welcome. So how did we start? How did we as Hinton Alliance start in Guatemala? So you have to humor me for about 3 minutes here, and I'll just tell you a little story. So anybody here had a parent or a grandparent that was a homesteader? Yeah, okay. So I'm going to use a homesteading analogy. You know, the first thing you do, you got to cut down the trees, pull the roots, burn it, and get rid of all the rocks. And so think of my heart as that homestead. I got saved in 1989, and right out of the bat, I had this awesome friend that I met, and he started discipling me, and went to Bible study for like, you know, 6 weeks in a row every night on a Tuesday night, and everything was bliss. And about week 7, this concept of giving came up, and I was astounded, and like, I honestly thought, like, this is insane. Like, I've got plans for my money. You know, I was young, I was, you know, whatever, 24 years old. Like, God can't want us to give him money. Like, that's insane. And so, you know, I was a selfish person. I was a greedy person. And this concept of you actually had to be generous was just, like, it was foreign. And I actually couldn't believe it, and I wrestled with it. Like, how can God want me to have to give money up? I got plans for that. I didn't have money, but, I was hoping to, and I wanted to be able to keep it all. So, you know, I'm not some super special person. I'm just telling you, my heart was like stone, and I didn't want to be generous. That was going to be my money. And so the Lord had to, you know, cut down the trees in my heart and pull the rocks out. And over time, you know, these things, you know, some people, they happen instantly, and some people, it just happens, you know, over time. And in my walk, he just continuously put causes in front of me and changed my heart and said, you know, Kelvin, you know, you need to do this. You need to do this. And so over time that happened. So that's the first bit of the homestead. And then after that, you know, you got to till the soil and prepare it. And so then, you know, God had to do a work in my life in that area too. And what he used was an organization called Hungry for Life that's in here. And we actually got introduced to it in Kitimat in about 2004. 2004 or 2005. And I never participated in any of those trips, but the church got involved in Kitimat and in a village in Mexico. And actually, you know, our three oldest children all made trips down there. Our son made three trips down, and our two girls made one trip down. And so, you know, I started to see, you know, the work that Hungry for Life was doing in communities, and really thought, that's great work. And so we as parents supported our kids in prayer, and they went down there, and the interest grew. And so then that brings us to Hinton. And we come here, and I would say three things just all came together in a very short time to galvanize the concept. And the first was a book, and the second was a book. And the first book was Hungry for Life, you know, a vision of the church to transform the world. And so our two girls had went on a trip to Mexico in 2012, and they got this book, and they brought it home. And I started reading it, and I couldn't put it down. And literally, in a very short time, I read it cover to cover and was captivated by it. And then the second book's by K.P. Yohannan. I don't know if any of you know K.P. Yohannan and Gospel for Asia, but he wrote a book called No Longer a Slum Dog. And I have no idea how I got it, but all of a sudden it was in my hands. And I also couldn't put it down. Like, you just couldn't put it down. And in there, it was interesting, because if you know K.P. Yohannan and his ministry, K.P. Yohannan always said, don't worry about feeding the poor. You know what? People are dying and going to hell. Just preach the gospel. And so that was his mantra for years and years and years. Just preach the gospel, preach the gospel. Forget about poverty. And then one day, the Lord gripped him and showed him that you have to look after the poor. It's biblical. You must. And he actually showed him a harvest field that was just ripe, but there was like a moat in between, and he couldn't get there. And, you know, you talked about, you know, the kids reading the Bible to their parents. So what the Lord showed K.P. Yohannan was, there's a bridge across the moat into the harvest that's through the kids. And so he developed, you know, something called Bridge of Hope, and started feeding kids and looking after them and ministering to them, and then they took it to their parents. So those two books together just gripped my heart, and I couldn't turn from it. And then Lori Speakman, who many of you would know, some of you don't know the name, but many of you would know, she was working with Wendy here, and she was over at our table for supper, and she said, Calvin, the church needs a missions coordinator, and you're it. And Dorotea looked at me and said, yeah, you're it. And so, you know, again, there's nothing special in me, but that's how, you know, that's how we got there. The church needed a missions coordinator. So that's all the tilling that the Lord did through the years, if I can testify to that. So then it was just a matter of we did a bunch of research, my son and I, and we landed on Hungry for Life, and they came here and talked to the elders and proposed some things, and we prayed about it, and it was, we're going to Guatemala. And that's how it was birthed. So.
And I mean, obviously she looked, you're it, but what else was going on in your heart, Dorotea?
I'm always thankful to the Lord that He has put us together, and our ministries are not together. Where my heart is here in the local church and equip God's people here, Calvin has always, or for a long time, had a heart for the poor and to help with eradicating poverty. So I was happy, you know, for him, and that the Lord saw his gifting that he had put into him and was using it. So we began working more in the background, Charlene and I, in praying for them and prepping them and writing encouragement cards and such. But am I allowed to just share? One thing that I love is that how the Lord uses every one of us in his work. And you might sit here and think, well, I cannot go so far away. I have children at home, which we did. I couldn't go. But our kids went, and it amazed me how they had a heart for it, and so they kept going with Calvin, and it cost money. So then one year came, and we said, okay, if you want to go, you have to come up with some of your own money. And we said, you have to come up with $500 this year on your own, and then we would cover the rest. And Alisa began to save money, and she would have been an early teenager by that time. And we were in church one Sunday morning, and she had $200 saved up by that point. And the message was on giving the Lord and giving generously. And on the way home, she says to us, I feel the Lord is telling me to give my $200. And I'm like, are you sure you heard that right? Yeah, I was taken aback because I thought, well, she saved that for the Lord already, right? Like, it was already for a mission trip. And she says, no, I feel like I should give. And I'm like, you mean everything? And she goes like, yeah, it says generously, generously. So she gave $200 to the church because she felt God's conviction to do that. The next Sunday, one lady in the church came up to her and said, Alisa, I cannot go myself, but I am so proud of you that you are going, and I wish I could go, but I will write you a check for $500. That story is phenomenal because you know what happened? Alisa's faith grew. Her mother's faith grew. Her father's faith grew. And the church's faith grew. And all because God was beginning to work in the hearts of his people. And so these mission opportunities have such ripple effect in our lives, even home here. So never underestimate what you can do here. Never write off a mission project because you think, this is not me. Number one, the most important thing we must do is pray. And if you think that that is not important or boring, you need to have a session with your pastor or Charlene or the elders.
Thank you. So you can sit down if you like. Thank you so much. Let's praise God for this generous family. Praise God for your example of faith. Thank you, brother. All right. So we've also asked some folks to share a story here. So I need my glasses. This is kind of fun. Okay. Oh, look, my notes are there. All right. I've asked a few to give a favorite memory. So this was from Julie Unruh. Is she around here? Oh, she's serving God. Okay. My favorite memory was from when we went to visit families with the local pastor. This one man had just lost his job, was trying to repair bikes to make money, and had a daughter that needed surgery. Yet he was so friendly and happy. The joy of Jesus was shining through this man's eyes. His hope and joy was found in Jesus. I found it to be a beautiful reminder that no matter what our circumstances are, when Jesus is the center of our lives, we will be okay. Oh, man. That comes right out of the Bible. All right. This one is from Lucy. Now, Lucy is not here today. I know that. She had to work. Plus, she was not going to stand up here and do this. All right. So, the missions trip to Guatemala brought about many emotions. While being immersed in such a beautiful country with such genuine, kind, friendly, and loving people, made for some warm, fuzzy feelings, the harsh realities that a large population lives impoverished lives was a stark contrast to what we are used to here in Canada. It's not easy or comfortable to see families crammed into tin huts, barely scraping by, and yet in so many ways they are richer than so many of us in Canada. They are open about sharing their stories and being authentic. They praise God for the basic blessings that they have and are so incredibly grateful for the help we as a team provided them while we were there. They value community, and those who had faith truly believed and worshiped God with everything they had. It was a privilege to work with a fun Christian crew towards a common goal for the people who could in no way ever repay us. Ever repay us. Isn't that good? All right, so now there's three others. I'm going to call together as a group because there's support in that group. Fiona Seal, Doug Barnes, Lois Tunkey, come on up here as a group. Is Doug here? Did Doug make it today? Okay, he maybe didn't make it. Oh, that's too bad. All right, well, you two ladies, come on up, and please share what you've written. All right, here you go. Hold it nice and close to your... Do you want to put it on here? There you go. That just makes it easier.
Okay. I went to Guatemala quite a few times, so I'm just kind of generalizing most of it, and it's the people that were there. They welcomed up with warmth and kindness, and I was amazed by their resilience, humility, and simplicity. They were so powerful in their faith. They lived with so little but had so much. What really spoke to me in our sessions was Calvin's on Ephesians, putting on the armor of God. When we went out daily, we had this protection with us, and I do this to this day. It's just really was instrumental in my journey. And one of my most memorable moments was, and it was actually the blessing, was the distribution of the blankets of the food and the food baskets that we gave to the people. Their looks of gratefulness and their big smiling faces will be forever in my memory. They were just so overwhelmed and so grateful and so thankful from all the food baskets that we had delivered. And a lot of the women carried them on their heads home. And the ones that weren't able to, we had our people that were there help them take them to their homes for their elderly. And also, another highlight was my daughter being able to go. And it really did change her, and she is forever grateful for this. So that's kind of my stuff.
And I got to go once, and Kelvin was a wonderful leader, and we had our devotions that were awesome. God did some really good work in my heart. But seeing the people and seeing how real they are and their faith is so genuine. So on the second week, I think it was, toward the end, on May the 4th, 2017, I have a picture. If you want to see a picture, I have it on my phone of this family. So we'd gone to Santa Marta, which is a little community down a crazy little side road from Zapote, which is south of the last river, and they had very narrow streets. So the first family we visited had 8 children. And the dad told us 2 of them had died in childbirth, and one of them had been purple. He prayed, and they came back to life. This was 2 separate incidents. And I thought, wow, 8 children, wouldn't 6 be enough? But no. You know, he's like, no, I'm not letting my children go. And they have a small red Toyota truck, and they had a transport visit with it. Now, very many people have a vehicle, so having that little vehicle, and in that little kind of community with those little tiny roads, he would be the one that would do deliveries. So when they came to the people that we visited in the 2 different days that we visited, then they all came to the church for the food distribution that we had. And so that's where they have the picture of the bags that we had sewed. I know some of you might have sewed those bags, and we filled them with groceries, oil, and eggs, and rice, and all kinds of stuff, and the families came to get them. So I have that picture, like I said, if you want to see it. And we also, Kelvin had given me a few pairs of adjustable shoes, if you've ever heard of them, and 2 of the girls in that family got adjustable shoes that would grow with them, so it's really awesome.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for being brave. Yeah, let's give them a hand, absolutely. So as part of this, Hungry for Life put together a video, which is called The Capstone. And so we're going to watch this now. I think it's maybe 3 or 4 minutes. And then following that video, we're going to switch gears, and we're going to think about, well, what's next? And we're going to have Dave and Jen join us. Hi, I'm Tony Rodriguez. Thank you so much, Hidden Alliance Church, for all that you've done for us. Okay, I've watched it a few times. I even cried once. Are we going to get sound? Lord, give a sound. Well, if we can't make it work in the next minute, we'll do it next week. How's that sound? Okay. What do you think? I'll give Joel his amazing abilities back there. Do you think it's because we have Jen and Dave on Skype waiting for us? Okay, so why don't we do Jen and Dave, and if they're ready, and then maybe when we're off the phone we can try this. It's going to make us a little bit late, so if you have to go, please feel free to do so. Hello, Dave and Jen. How are you today?
Hello.
Hey, sorry, we can hear you. We can hear you loud and clear. Thank you so much for joining us today. And this morning I was reminiscing a little bit, just before you give us an update, I was reminiscing a little bit about how we came to know you. It was through Calvin and Dorothea leaving the church, and of course, without Calvin as kind of that key catalyst person, we had to think, well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to carry on the mission? It was during that time that Cheryl and I were invited to go to North Africa, and it was there that we met Dave and Jen. And Jen is from Fairview, and Dave is from Grand Prairie, and so it was kind of like, hey, people we can identify with. Plus, they have four beautiful daughters, and we have three beautiful daughters. So we kind of felt this connection. And from there, we thought we would come back to the church and offer a seamless link, which is a new program or a new-ish program that the Alliance is offering to churches to connect with families overseas and kind of adopt them as part of our family. And so we've talked that through with Dave and Jen while we were there, and one thing led to another. And so now they are our Seamless Link family. We've adopted you and all your beautiful young ladies. And so we brought you here today for an update and a few prayer requests that we will pray for in the service. Okay?
Sounds good. Kevin was telling us that a lot of new faces in the church, you may not necessarily know us. And so we just want to give you just a little bit about us and then some prayer requests. Our girls are sleeping right now, they should be in bed, so you won't see them tonight. But it was about 10 years ago, we were serving as Alliance Associate Pastors just outside Edmonton. And every week we would go into the city of Edmonton to work with the nations. We would work with the refugees that were coming to Edmonton. And we had this little nudge from the Spirit saying, you know, what would this look like in actually going to the place where the refugees are from? And so the Alliance leaders, they had this wonderful vision to send us as international workers into North Africa, a place where it's a hub of refugees and all the nations are coming here in the hope of making it to Europe or North America or wherever the better place is. So 10 years ago, we landed here. We God didn't give us the gift of tongues and speaking Arabic, so it took us about 3 years to get there. And then we started what we like to call the ministry of drinking tea. We drink tea with our refugee brothers and sisters, and we disciple new believers. We drink some more tea, and we help train refugee pastors and encourage them in reaching out to their communities. And then the thing that we even love more, so we drink tea, which is anybody that God will bring into our life in the hope of loving them into Jesus' kingdom. So when you come and visit us, there'll be lots of drinking tea.
Jen, do you want to share a little bit with what you do, Jen, as well?
Sure. And actually, maybe I will give one of our requests when I share a little bit about what I get to do on a daily basis. So I have the incredible opportunity of working in maternal health, offering childbirth education classes, and birth support and breastfeeding or lactation support after the babies are born. So I've been working with a couple of local doctors for about 6 years now. We are very blessed, fortunate to have a space to offer childbirth education classes. We just finished a group or a series of six classes to six couples. And then along with a couple of other ladies, we've been able to welcome at least half of the babies in that group so far. And that's been lots of fun. Starting tomorrow, we're actually starting a new series of classes. And so this is the request, is we're bringing on two local women to mentor and train them in teaching the classes so that they can then reach people in their community. So that would be a request for tomorrow, starting that for these two local women in particular.
Definitely pray for that. One of the things that I love hearing, I heard when we first came there, was that when these little ones are born, you are there and you represent another kingdom and you bless these babies. And who knows where that blessing is going to go? That God is going to someday awaken them, hey? So good. All right.
Yeah, all right. Amazing opportunity.
Absolutely. Okay, so why don't we just do it as they come? How many prayer requests do you have? Four? Five?
No, let's go with three.
Okay, three. So let's take this prayer request for these two ladies who are going to be trained to do what you do and expand this ministry. Okay, so who would like to pray for that? Anybody out here? And I'll give you the microphone so they can hear your prayer. Anybody want to pray? Go ahead. Come on, don't be shy. Oh, we got a guest coming to pray. Thanks, Dorothea.
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a God that sees all hearts and speaks all languages, that you are a God of detail, that you order every step of our lives and of the lives of the women in North Africa. You are just alive there, then you are here. And we thank you that we can trust your word, that you will go before, that you will order the steps, that you will open the right doors, and that you will make a way. Only in the way only you can. We pray, Lord, that this ministry would prosper and grow, that your love would expand wherever they step, through every teaching that is spoken. Lord, that this will just be a growing, a new plant that they are planting, that it would be nurtured, that it would be under your light and under your Son, Lord, that you would grow it. Lord, that you would fill it and that your presence would be felt wherever they go. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Dave, what's request number two that we can pray for?
You can pray for our friend Jazz and her two boys. We see them every Tuesday. They are Somali Ethiopian devout followers from the majority religion. And Jazz has been here for about 8 years, and her boys were smuggled into the country last year, so she hadn't seen them for 7 years. They even forgot their mother tongue. So now she's mothering her two boys that she hasn't seen in 7 years in Arabic, their second or third language. But the cool thing with them is when we were serving back in Edmonton with refugees, we got to know her cousin, who is a believer in Edmonton, working among refugees. So we have this cool connection between us of her being here, her cousin being there, and every Tuesday we get to love them a little bit more, teach them a little English, talk about football, take care of some of their needs. But all in all, we're hoping that we are just demonstrating Christ to them. So the time that they do go to Canada, the cousin's going to be waiting there, and he's going to be able to, like, usher them not only into Edmonton, but into the kingdom of Jesus.
Amen. All right. Who would like to pray for that one?
Specifically anybody? For this family, if you can really pray for paperwork for them. They've been waiting a year since her sons have come to get any paperwork. They don't have birth certificates or anything. And so because of that, they actually cannot really leave their house. Can't work, they can't go to school. And that, of course, has its own set of problems. So if you could remember the process of paperwork for them. And also this week, we'll take one of the boys to a hospital, believing hospital, about 2 hours from here to get a small surgery on his foot as well.
Okay. Did you catch all that, Charlene?
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for Jazz and her boys. I thank you, Father, for divine appointments, Lord, that you have handpicked them, put them in North Africa, put them in the lives of Dave and Jen. And so, Father, you've got good plans for these ones, plans to prosper them, not to harm them, to give them a hope and a future. And, Father, there is no future without you. So I pray that as you continue to work in their hearts, we just come against every spirit of religion over them right now. And I break that off in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, for soft hearts, Father, that they would understand the love of Jesus, that they would understand a love that's only found in you. I thank you, Father, for that. And so, Father, I also pray for this paperwork that needs to be done. And, Father, your timing is perfect. And so I pray favor. I pray doors open in that area, God, that when you want them to come to Canada, that things fall into place. I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you for the surgery that needs to happen on this fellow. And again, that you would go before him and give the doctors the wisdom. And again, that they would see, Father, that it is a believing hospital. There's something different about people. So, Lord, you know these people. You were wooing them. You were loving them, God. I pray for the cousin that's back in Canada, God, that he would be able to have that boldness to share. And, Father, that there is no enemy in hell that can keep these ones away from the truth of the gospel. I pray for Jen and for Dave, that you give them the boldness to be able to share what they can, oh God. And, Father, that you give them words to speak. Lord, what is it that would touch their hearts? And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you. Okay, Dave, what's the last one for us to pray for?
We have this great privilege of being associate pastors at an international church here, an English church for expats. And we are organizing the Christmas pageant right now, Christmas pageant, which features about 100 actors, singers, volunteers, 3 ornery camels, a donkey, and a sheep. And this is one of 2 opportunities a year that we can invite our friends and neighbors into the church. So we can do that December 3rd for the Christmas pageant, and then we can do that on Christmas Eve. And that's really the only time that we're allowed to invite people to our church. So there's a cool opportunity to demonstrate and give the story of Jesus' birth and the reason for Christmas and our hope to all of our friends and neighbors. And so we're just praying that this would be an awesome opportunity for people to come. We have 2 shows, and we would love to see like 500-600 people come. That would be just amazing.
Awesome. All right. Anybody want to pray for that one? I do. Jesus, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the beauty of open doors that are rare in this main faith country. And so, God, we praise you for that. We pray that this open door would not just be an invitation open door, but also an open door to hearts and minds to hear the word of Jesus, the gospel of good news, that they might come into faith and be saved and walk in newness of life. And thank you for all the different, you know, the parts that have to come together for all that, including the ornery camels. And Father, we just pray that it would be a fantastic time, a great show, that everything would come together and the gospel and the name of Jesus would find renown in people's hearts and minds. Thank you again for this open time. And we thank you for Dave and Jen. We pray just a general blessing of great grace be upon you as you minister with your team there in the name of our Lord, as you go out each day and having tea and trying to find those to share as much as you can of the gospel. I just pray in Jesus' name, we pray together over you, a great blessing in the name of the Lord. Father, we just continue to lift up Jen, who has lost her brother tragically recently. We just ask you again to comfort her and to to grow that grace, that sense of comfort in her heart as she goes through these times. And she has her family around her, which is beautiful, as well as her teammates there, and the beautiful ministry that they get to do together. So we pray for all of these things, and thank you for Dave and Jen, part of our church. And thank you that this great technology allows them to be right in the room with us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And
all right, Dave, Jen, God bless you. And we are going to be talking in the near future about perhaps sending some teams out there, which would be so fun. And we'll come up with some...
If it helps at all, it might, you might want to know that it was 28 degrees for today.
No, that doesn't help at all. What are you talking about? Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow then. Is that what you're saying?
You're welcome.
Okay. All right, God bless you guys. We love you.
Love you too.
Love you.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah. Okay. Oh, my heart's full. Isn't your heart full? I mean, it's just been such a good thing today.